You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Noodles is out of here. He's on his way to Pearson. He's off to Edmonton for the weekend.
What a great getaway.
Yeah, that's a quick getaway for the kid. Get some sun out there, come back refreshed. So I expect big things out of Noodles on Monday at 4 p.m.
I guarantee his daughter, Dylan, is going to get off, like walk out of the airport and say, never again. I want to see Grandma, but this is too cold.
Well, it's not like she's leaving a paradise right now. Have you seen Toronto?
Yeah, it's garbage.
Toronto's, the weather in this city for the past month.
It never used to bother
brutal.
Me, man, but I don't know. I think I hit 40. And it just, I can't stand it.
You're a condo guy, too. Do you know how aggravating that is? I was raking leaves less than a week ago. Less than a week ago, I was raking leaves, and now I've got the snowblower.
Dude, I gotta tell you something, okay? That app that Scotty Mac talks about, Jiffy.
Brilliant.
Use it. Who wants to do that crap?
Jiffy is a great idea.
I'm telling you, just type in, leaves, this time, come and do it. And they're not, they don't rip you off. It's not like egregious prices.
Well, it's a sense of pride for a lot of people, too, right?
Like I feel pride raking leaves?
Yeah, I have no pride.
I feel pride when I watch a guy do it.
Yeah, I have no pride.
Because I feel good about myself.
Right. Yeah. I hate raking leaves. Like, it's the most tedious job because you can never get every leaf. It never stops.
Yeah, you had a great poll. What was your poll? What would you, if you could do one thing the rest of your life every day, rake leaves, cut the grass in a scorcher, or shovel the driveway?
Shovel in a really cold, cold weather. Those were the three. Rake leaves, mow your lawn in a scorcher, or shovel your driveway in a really, really cold weather. I go shovel.
I go shovel, too.
Because you can bundle up.
Actually, you know what? If you got a big lawn and a riding mower,
yeah, but
you
who
throw
has
a sixer
that,
on ice on that thing.
John Denver? Like, who? No one has that.
Dude, I've never told you this before, but one of my ultimate goals, and this just came on in the last 3 or 4 years, and I'm kind of becoming my dad, I want to live on a farm. I want a farm.
No, you don't.
Dude, I do.
You just said you'd rather Jiffy pick up your leaves.
But if I
now
got a
gonna
farm.
Now you're going to get out there and farm? You're going to crop. You're going to set up a crop.
No, I just want like a farmhouse out in the country.
Exactly. And then hire Jiffy to do everything. Yes,
no,
okay, so
but
do
if you
I.
give me a nice
I
piece,
share that.
A nice lawn, I can get a tractor and I'll throw a sixer on ice with a little cooler and I'll enjoy that every second day.
I'm telling you, you're not going to, you won't. My father-in-law, my brother-in-law, they've got huge lots. Huge. My brother-in-law.
Do they have riding mowers?
Yes, they do. But listen to this story, okay? I was over at his house and he was out at work and he's one of these, he's got his own company and he works like crazy hours all the time. Comes home, says hi, we're sitting around, we're having a chat. On the way out, we're leaving, he comes out with us. He's like, I got to mow the lawn. This guy just put in like a 12-hour day. I asked him, I go, how long does it take you to mow this? About an hour and a half. An hour and a half. Now, he's on like a lawnmower. He's on basically a tractor, but an hour and a half to mow your lawn. No, not happening. I complain about a 20-minute mow. An hour and a half?
20-minute mow. I think the farm is more for retirement because I don't want to come home from work and then take care of stuff. So that's what I'm going to get my farm.
Well, that's true.
I figure in this industry, I'm 42. How long do you think I can go in this industry?
I think you can get 20 more years.
What?
What, you don't want to do 20 more years or you don't think you can?
I think 50 is reasonable to retire, don't you?
Well, I think it would be ideal. I don't know if it's reasonable. Everyone's got a different approach.
I'm thinking 50, I'm out of here.
All right. Well, Ray's, how old is Ray now? 50?
I think Ray's got to be 50 plus.
Yeah, oh, he's at least 50. I know he's that. I think he's 55. He broke into the league in 82 or 83.
Yeah, you're probably right. Ray's probably got 15 left in him.
And Ray's still going. Ray's still the best in the business. He's doing radio interviews all over the place. He's flying all over the world. Does the World Championships, the World Juniors, Leaf games. I mean, if he can do it, you can do it. You guys have the exact same work ethic. You and Ray are like two peas in a pod.
You know what? I think we go about it a different way, but I think we like to have this like a similar. Like, everybody thinks I'm just an ass clown. I show up and blurt out stuff. Like, I actually work.
Yeah. When I look at you, I see Ray.
I don't think.
And when I look at Ray, I see you.
And I know Ray doesn't want you to say that.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. How you doing, Ray?
When I see you, I see a high school
dropout.
Guy running the local radio thing, show, whatever. Just,
right.
You know, just starting. That's what I see.
Well, wouldn't that be what you hear as opposed to see?
No, I hear a polished professional. What
yes.
I see.
Well, the reason we stumbled across this is because O is already working on his retirement plan. And I said,
"Oh, really?
Yeah."
And I want to buy a farm.
He wants to be a farmer. He wants to farm and, like, you know, crops and all that stuff.
Not that, dummy. I just want a farmhouse with a great view, and I don't want to. Like, I imagine, like, a forest way in the back. You could put a little pub in there. Like, you drive a skidoo out, have some beers in the winter.
So here's what I would think: is instead of buying the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just buy a remote piece of property and build a farmhouse that looks out over a lake? It doesn't even, you could have the only farmhouse there. Everybody else could have ultra modern homes and you could have a farmhouse. You could tell yourself you're a farmer.
No, I want to buy, like, there's lots of them for sale up near Collingwood. Lots. 50 acres. Beautiful.
I'm telling you, it's.
But what are you going to do with it? Like, rent out the farm part?
I'm just going to drink beer and cut the grass every day. Like, that sounds like a plan to me. Tee it up, come back, sit on the tractor, have some cold beers, and cut the grass.
I played golf with Wendell Clark once. I don't think he still has the farm, but it was up near this one course. And we went by his farm thing, and he's like, yeah, it takes like 2 days to cut the grass. I'm like, well, how much fun is that?
No kidding.
He's like, oh, I like it. He goes, it's quiet, you know, and I'm like, damn, when I cut the grass in my house, which is not very big, I'm like, I can't finish fast enough.
I hate
like if
it.
If somebody gets in front of me, they're going under the mower.
Yeah.
Like, although I will say, when the yard's cut and it's got the nice little lines in it, that's my favorite.
Oh, it's very gratifying, but you got to put in the work. It's like anything else in life, you know. We could be astronauts if we put our minds to it, but... We're not going to do that.
You see us in a speech.
I would love that. The first, like, Overdrive podcast from space.
We would be in a full fist fight. We wouldn't even be off the launching pad yet.
Yeah.
Move over. It's small. Move over. It's in my space.
Houston, we have a serious problem. These guys are so dumb. I have no idea how they passed the litmus test. But they're up there now, so we got to get them home safe. And
my dad always told us he wanted to be on a farm. And my mom would always say, his name was Ed, she'd say, Ed, you haven't pulled a weed here in 20 years. How the hell are you going to be a farmer?
Yeah, exactly. That was my reaction to the O-Dog.
Yeah, that's what I see. Oh, you on the farm. Like, you're not farming. You just get somebody to cut the lawn, get somebody to, you know, you could rent out to real farmers and they'd have a crop and things and... You could just, I don't know, putter around the farmhouse. You in overalls? I can see that.
I need to see it. I'll support that, but everything else I think is a pipe dream. Anyway, you know, leading into this California trip, in past years it was a pipe dream to think the Leafs could even get 4 points, let alone be in a position to...
Wasn't there a trip where they capped it off in St. Louis and I called 0 points and they came home with zilch?
I think they went 0-4, yes. They went... Three games.
They got clobbered, didn't they?
They got smoked. That was a few years ago, I believe. And obviously, this is a very different Leaf team, and these California teams are very, very different. But it says something about both of them that the Leafs are on a back-to-back with their backup goalie, and Vegas has them favored tonight in Anaheim.
I thought that the game last night was impressive because, you know, they didn't steamroll over a way overmatched LA team. They were in a game, and you know it was. As nasty as regular season games are these days with all the, you know, the Kadri stuff. And I liked a lot of their game last night. I think what I'm liking most is how quickly they can score. Like there's nothing going on. Boom, it's gone. Like the first happening goal, like Dermott stood up in the neutral zone. He made a nice play. And the puck, he poked it off Kane's stick and it went to Marlowe. And like 3 seconds later, it's 1-0. They scored 4 times last night. The only goal that wasn't a quick strike was the Tavares goal off the D-man's foot. Everything else was just like 2-on-1 breakaway. You know, the Marner goal with Anderson throws a, hell, he's even into the mix. You know, throws a 100-whatever pass. And I just, they must scare the hell out of defensemen. And Anaheim's defense has got three rookies on it, and they run and chase their tails all over the place. So if they play, they should be able to generate a pile of chances tonight.
Ray, do you think that the window is closed out west? I know San Jose's got a quality team, but it's like LA's a mess right now. Anaheim seems to be a bit of a mess. I think Randy's probably ultimately in trouble. It's like for Anaheim, it's like that Getzlaf, Perry, Kessler came in there. It's like that. I don't know. Yep. That window seems to be shut, isn't it?
For me, it is too. Like I look at them and I. You know, even before Perry's knee injury, he was really having trouble with, you know, keeping the pace. I mean, he was not a threat like he's been in the past. Kessler's had so many serious physical problems. It's like his hips have been redone. Like, just think of the rehab he's got to do just to be even close to playing. So that takes, you know, that takes one guy off of your top line, each of your top two lines, Perry and then Kessler. Then you had Cogliano, who's got one goal on the season. He hasn't scored in like 14 games. Their best players are their young guys. Their older guys who still have like 3 and 4 years plus left on their contracts, chewing up huge cap space, just aren't the players they used to be. The only older, effective player they have is Getzlaf. The other guys have really, really taken a step backwards. Age and injury has gotten them, and they're in a tough spot. Not as tough as LA, but because they've got some really good young guys that they've drafted and have in their lineup. But they've, man, it wasn't very long ago you'd come down here and teams would hope to win one out of the three. Now they look at it like, oh, we can do some damage there.
We had a little mini quiz or a puzzle on the show earlier, and Brian brought up Erik Karlsson's cap hit coming up. What do you think it will be? Because he is not even in the same stratosphere.
No, he's spending money by the game right now. I thought he looks like unsure with the puck. He doesn't look quick. He doesn't look elusive. Like all the things that made Karlsson like just an amazing player, he just doesn't look the same. And so if I were a general manager committing 7 years at $9 million, no chance. Like I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but I still think if he goes to UFA, he's going to say, "Look, I'm the Doughty contract. So if you're not getting, that's what I'm attaching myself to. And if it's no, then it's no dice."
That's fine, but you've got to find somebody to give it to you. As of today, now maybe in 2 months, he'll be a completely different player. But since he's had that ankle surgery, he's not looked the same. Like, not even close. And there are many examples of players that have had, you know, invasive reconstructive surgery that have never gotten back to the level that they were before. And I hope Karlsson does, because I love watching him play. He's a favorite to watch of mine. But he doesn't even look close to the same guy that he used to be.
I just think you look at that position. Every team in the league, it seems, outside of maybe two or three, are always seeking out defensemen. And everyone's like, We can't find them. We can't get them. And now this guy comes up, and I understand he doesn't look right. He's not performing the way you would expect. But now you're going to say no? I think someone will pay him. I think he's still going to get $11 million. I don't know if it'll be San Jose. Now that they're up close and personal, they know more than we do. They're watching him in practice, on the treadmill, you know, during stretch.
Yeah, the doctors see him.
Absolutely. But I think he hits the market and there's, you know, 30 other teams out there. Someone's going to be like, I don't care. If he can come close to it, I'll give him the $11 million. I still think he'll get it.
I guess what I would be worried about, Brian, is you give him the 11 or 10 or whatever it's going to be, and, you know, not in 5 years, but in 5 months, that thing's an anchor on your cap. Like, that's what I would be concerned with. Like, when I'm watching him now, he doesn't even he doesn't create anything. And if Erik Karlsson's not creating, then I'll take a guy that makes way, way, way less money to not create anything. Karlsson's magic is that he takes something that doesn't look like a threat and turns it into a threat, makes an amazing pass, sends somebody on a breakaway, jumps up in the play. None of that has happened for him in the first. This is a quarter of the season. And I know there's time to adjust and all that. And again, maybe in the second half of the year, we go, holy man, I can't even remember those first 2 months of the year. He looks like an all-star again. And maybe that'll happen. But right now, I wouldn't want to be making that choice right now.
You mentioned the Kadri stuff from last night. And right from the drop of the puck, they were after him. San Jose, they were trying to fight him. They were trying to hit him. They were trying to get at him.
Idiotic to start the game like that.
But how would that have started? I mean, that's got to be Thornton in the room saying, hey, guys, don't forget.
I don't think he would. I don't think he would be like, hey, guys, remember when that guy pulled my beard? They probably decided amongst themselves, we don't like what he did to our captain last year, or not our captain, but Jumbo Joe, our guy, and it's get even time now.
I mean, it was out of control, though, right? Like, right from, you know, from when Goodrow took that penalty at the, 8 seconds, by the time they blew the play dead, I mean, Meyer was running around like he'd forgotten his head back in the locker room. He took a couple retaliation penalties. Like, San Jose, that was last night, that was a case of a team hurting themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, they were fighting a little battle that didn't need to be fought, that wasn't going to be fought. They should have had the answer when Kadri didn't fight him on the first shift, that he was like, beat it, scram, I'm not involved in this. But they couldn't let it go. And, man, he was in the soup the entire night.
Yeah.
Like that.
I think he's comfortable there.
To go without somebody wanting to whack him in the, you know, slash him, punch him, whatever. That's I assume he would have been pretty sore last night by the time the game was over.
Yeah. But I thought he handled it pretty well. I mean, he's an agitating guy. He's one of the few guys on this team. You know, the Leafs are not anywhere close to a physical team. They don't get caught up in scrums. There's no animosity in any of these games. And you can't really argue against it because of the way they're playing. You know, they're winning a lot of games. But at some point, someone is going to challenge them and in a bigger moment, not in games in November. And I'm not talking about fights. You know, I'm talking about bigger teams like a Washington, you know, Winnipeg, Nashville, even though they're on the other side of the bracket. But how do you think the Leafs will handle that once we get to that point where the game slows down a little bit and the big boys start cycling and leaning on them and trying to push them around a little bit? Do you think the speed and the skill will overcome that?
Well, it's going to have to, because that's the way they built their team. That's when people say, no, see, you can win with the defense they have. That's why I think, just the example you gave, Brian, when the game slows and it turns into a little bit more of a half-ice game, you need guys that are capable of stopping a cycle and being able to move the puck out of the cycle. And I just don't see it. Like, if they could find a partner for Riley and move Hainsey down the chart a bit, I think that maybe is an obvious statement, but that would make them so much deeper and so much better of a team. Like, you guys, I mean, we all watched the game last night. Mark Edward Vlasic is not winning many skating races. He went right by Hainsey last night. There could have been miscommunication, sure, but it was a 3-on-2. He went right by him like he was standing still. And as the games move on, I think his lack of quickness threads right through the defense becomes an issue. I think the bigger teams will be a problem. I don't, unless they can drag that team into a game they want to play. And that'll be fascinating to watch, because the other team's going to want to play a style that Toronto doesn't, and Toronto's going to want to play a style the bigger team doesn't. And who can impose their will the most? That to me will be fascinating to watch, because I just, honestly, I don't know who would be able to do it most in a 7-game series.
Which Alberta team do you think hates their goaltending more?
Oof. Calgary.
Yeah, Mike Smith. He gave up two muffins last night inexcusable. Because Calgary dominated Montreal. Credit to Carey Price. We talked a lot about him. Mm-hmm. We should point that out. Price was unbelievable last night. But Mike Smith was terrible, and he's not starting tomorrow night. And Talbot's not smart starting tomorrow night either. It's backup central. Battle of Alberta with the backups tomorrow night.
Well, it's not just that he's given up bad goals. It's like the goals are, they look like they're going right through the crest of his sweater. Like the pucks are going right through him. And I don't know, you know, Noodles would know more about this, but to me, I just read this quote by Carey Price. He said, when he took the break, the thing that he worked on the most, you know, in his own head was get set, get in position, then be calm enough to let the puck hit you. And I assume that becomes a pretty big challenge, that you get jittery and you move a little bit. You know, you're moving to try and corral the puck. Smith has way too many goals like last night, ones that go right through him, and they're devastating to their team. They should have had a better result last night. They get nothing for it. But what the heck? He's 36 years old now, right?
I think they got to act on it. I mean, right? Yeah, they got to act on it. It's like, why continue to have a false sense of hope for the fans, your team, the guys in the locker room? It's like, you got to make them disappear, and you got to get somebody else in there that can do the job. They got a quality team.
I like Calgary.
Yeah, and in a year where there's not a lot of dominant, there's not like, oh God, they're, you know, back in 5-6 years ago where there was Chicago, Pittsburgh, L.A., San Jose. It's not like that right now. It's kind of a little bit wide open to think maybe this could be our year.
Well,
but if you don't have a goaltender, you have no chance.
That division, home ice is up for grabs. Absolutely.
No question. But with that guy in net, probably not.
Well, the problem becomes, I guess, is how do you fix it? Like, who else could you get?
Nah, that's the thing. I mean, you got to sniff around to other... What else is out there? You want to call New Jersey and say, are you willing to part with Corey Schneider? Or I don't know what the hell you'd do.
Well, I mean, Corey Schneider, I don't think, has won a game since last Christmas.
Well, no kidding.
That's a problem.
Like, that's not even... And he's making bank.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you trade Mike Schmidt for Corey Schneider?
I don't know. I don't know what the idea would be.
That's the problem, is they're stuck. Once you make your team, like once you've built it, it's really hard. The only trades you make are the ones like we saw with Edmonton and the Rangers today, where the players are virtually similar. You know, they make the money fit across dollar board, because it has to. Would be really tough to find a goalie to, you know, to really elevate your team. I mean, unless you could somehow find a guy for a draft pick like Calgary did once upon a time with Mika Kiprusoff. But I don't think those deals are there anymore. Everybody seems to be protective and guarding their goalies as best as they can, because when it goes south in a hurry.
Yep. Oh, it can cripple your whole season. I mean, Calgary's got no shot at a cup run with Mike Smith. I don't see it. I don't think anybody can. I don't think they can. And they got a pretty good team. They got a good defense, good forward group. They played well last night, and Mike Smith cost them 2 points. It's that easy. So, we'll see. Leafs Ducks tonight on TSN 4. You're going to have the call, and you can hear it on TSN Radio tonight as well. Enjoy it, buddy. Enjoy California. We'll do it again Monday at 5.
Yeah, have a great weekend, guys. We'll talk to you then.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. He's got the call tonight with Chris Cuthbert, I believe. Must be CC. But he's got a lot of CFL stuff going on this weekend, because Gord is on his way out to Calgary. I heard that on the lunch today. So it must be Cuthbert and Ray, and then Cuthbert's off to Calgary, I guess. Although maybe that's where Gord is. I don't know. Who knows?
That was a tough little segment.
Well, I was trying to figure out who's calling all the games. Like, we got the Leaf game tonight. We got two CFL games. You know, Rod Black's probably doing one. Cuthbert doing one.
Either way, you're going to be well taken care of on all the TSN networks.
Absolutely. Antoine Bethea is going to join us. Safety with the Arizona Cardinals. Bit of an off year for the Cards. He's got a book out. Pretty inspirational story. Chip on his shoulder. Didn't go to a D1 school. Stepped in. Won a Super Bowl his first year with Indy in 06. It's going to be pretty cool. Current player in the NFL. Get his take on the game last night. And Duffy will be in studio in the next hour. Jack Armstrong at 6:05. Raptors in Boston tonight. Big test for them. We'll tee that up. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Tough, tough loss last night for the Packers. I think that probably ends it. Aaron Rodgers was trying to pretend like they still have faith. And he's got to put forth that front, but they had that game. They had that game last night. They're 0-5 on the road. First time they have started 0-5 on the road in a season since 1979. And the fact
is, 0-5 on the road, you're done.
Yeah, you're done. You know, and they're at Minnesota next week. They're at the Bears still later in the season. They're in some trouble. We'll get back into that later this afternoon. I think Mike McCarthy is seriously in trouble. But we've got a guy on the line here who's been in the NFL for a long time. He's a Super Bowl winner, and now he's an author. And I would think he's very proud of being a longtime NFLer. Being an author, though, puts you in exclusive company. And the book is already out online. The book is called Bet on Yourself, Inside the Mind of the Ultimate Underdog. You can pre-order now at AntoineBethea.com and available everywhere on December 10th. Here is safety of the Arizona Cardinals and author Antoine Bethea. How you doing, Antoine?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
We're doing well, man. How's that feel to add author to your Wikipedia page?
Man, it feels good. It feels really good.
So take us through this. Bet on yourself, inside the mind of the ultimate underdog. Why are you the ultimate underdog?
Man, you know, just you know, just my career in the NFL, how it got started, and even, you know, the time being in the NFL. Just feel as though, you know, been overlooked. But even before that, you know, growing up, high school, college, just the circumstances that I just had to go through just to get to the point that I'm at. And not only about myself, but I feel as though, you know, everybody at some point in their lives have been an underdog. So, you know, hopefully when they reads the book, you know, it can kind of give them some inspiration and some encouragement to get over that hump.
So I think a lot of people would be listening to this, and they understand the underdog story, the chip on the shoulder story, until you get to the NFL. Then you get there, you win a Super Bowl, you've been here for a long time, you're a three-time Pro Bowler. How do you continue to have a chip on your shoulder, considering the success you've had in the NFL?
Well, you know, in this profession, we have people, players, young men coming in each year trying to take your job. So, you know, obviously, it's my 13th year. I'm the old guy in the locker room. So, you know, you have the young guys coming in trying to take your job. So I still have to stay consistent and still have that chip on my shoulder just to continue to go out there to perform at a high level and keep a job.
With Arizona Cardinals safety, the new book is Bet on Yourself, Inside the Mind of the Ultimate Underdog. Antoine Bethea joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. As a safety, you've laid out a lot of hits over your life, over your career. I know part of the book is about how you were a linebacker, and when you got to college, they said you're too small, you got to move, and you went to safety, and you've been playing it ever since. But at 34, 13 years into your career, do you ever wake up and think, I can't hit anybody anymore? I can't do this?
Nah, not yet. I think when that happens, I'll be at the house taking my kids to school every day. But right now, I feel as though I can still do it. I feel as though I can still do it at a high level. And like I said, when it gets to that point where I don't think I can go out there and perform the way I think I should be able to perform, or how, you know, the standard I set for myself, that's when I'll have to walk away from the game.
You won a Super Bowl as a rookie in Indy. How easy did that feel, considering it was your first year?
Man, getting the Super Bowl my first year, you know, after that, I said, man, I'm going to give you 3 or 4 of these things. but you know, I was blessed to go into a great organization, you know, great owner in Jim Irsay, at the time, a great president, GM, Bill Polian, and a great head coach, and Coach Dungy. And then, you know, just the players that they had on the team, had a veteran group, great leaders, Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne, Dwight Freeney, man. So just being able just to come in and just see how those guys went to work day in and day out, it was just easy for me just to follow those guys and just do what I do. And even after that Super Bowl year, it was some great years just starting the season off at 9-0, 12-0, 10-0, man. So, you know, it was just some great times there in Indianapolis.
It's been a quarterback shuffle the past couple of years in Arizona. As you get older, do you gain even more of an appreciation for the greatness of Peyton Manning?
Oh, for sure. For sure, man. And obviously, you know, as you see See now going out through the throughout the league, you know, you see teams shuffling between two, maybe three quarterbacks, and you always see the one thing with a stable franchise or a good franchise, they have that position, taken care of. You look at the New England Patriots, you look at, you know, you were talking about Green Bay, but you know Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback. Seattle, with Russell. So you know you have to have that good quarterback, that great quarterback, just to give your team a chance to get to the promised land.
With Antoine Bethea of the Arizona Cardinals, you were in San Fran, I believe, when Kaepernick was there. What was that scene like when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling and the reaction to it? Eric Reed, I'm assuming he was a teammate. What was that like in San Fran?
Well, obviously, you know, it was media frenzy when it first happened. As a teammate, as an African American, you know, I understood what he was doing. Obviously, you know, people had different reactions to it. Everybody had their own personal opinion about if it was right that he did it, when he was doing it. But at the end of the day, you know, we're all we're professional athletes, and we all talk about the platform that we were given and how to use it. So, you know, at times when people didn't think he should be doing it, I think that was unfair for somebody to be able to tell you when and how to use your platform. He didn't do it in a negative way. Nobody got hurt. I think he sparked a conversation that I think needed to be had. Obviously, you know, it's still some things that we can improve on as people. But it was big of him doing what he did.
The book is called Bet on Yourself, Inside the Mind of the Ultimate Underdog. You can pre-order now at AntoineBethea.com, available everywhere on December 10th. Good luck with this book. Good luck with the rest of the season, the rest of your career. It was great catching up with you. Thank you for doing this.
No, thank you for having me.
There he is, Antoine Bethea. Safety with the Cardinals. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline is the 2019 Toyota Corolla, the safest vehicle on the road. See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla A-Thon and get rates from 0%, MapleToyota.com. Yeah, man, he was that is going to go down in history, those Niners teams. Like when Kaepernick first started kneeling and the reaction to it, you know, it's still kind of a part of the mainstream. We don't talk about it nearly as much as we did a couple of years ago.
It's going to be a movie coming up.
Oh, it's absolutely. But this will be remembered forever. You know, like in 30, 40, 50 years, Colin Kaepernick's name will be used when we talk about athletes who took a stand or even just got basically thrown out of the league. You know, like the collusion, I don't think that's disputable. You can say what you want about whether or not you like it, whether you think he should have done it or whatever. There is no way this guy wouldn't get another job in the NFL, considering other quarterbacks who have been granted jobs. Nathan Peterman was starting games 2 weeks ago. Nathan Peterman.
I'm pretty sure that Kaepernick could come off the street in his street clothes and put on the gear and play better than Peterman.
100%.
100%.
And there's no way Sean McDermott doesn't believe that too. Or the front office down in Buffalo.
Yeah.
There's no chance if you got them in an honest moment, they would say, no, we think Peterman would be better than Kaepernick. There's no chance.
Like, I'm being serious right now. I know we joked last year about Jose Theodore, and Niemi. But like Steve Young could like take his suit off and put the gear on and be better than Peterman, couldn't he? I'm telling you, he could.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people you could play that game with, a lot of people. You know, Kurt Warner hasn't, Brett Favre. Brett Favre hasn't played in a while. He's an old man now. I think Brett Favre could
play better than that.
I think he'd play better than Nathan Peterman. I do. That's how bad it got. That's how bad it was for the Bills. Jack Armstrong will join us. Kawhi Leonard playing tonight. Serge Ibaka playing. Danny Green playing tonight. So, for the most part, a full lineup. This is a big one in Boston tonight. Jack will join us in about 25 minutes. James Duffy in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. Back to the GOAT tracker. Freddie the GOAT Gauthier with an assist last night. He's officially on the board. The Leafs have a chance to sweep their California trip for the first time since 95. And if they pick up 2 points tonight, first overall in the league. Big game tonight in Anaheim. We'll tee that up. Overdrive continues on the TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Mailin' in Friday brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance at winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net. First entry's free. Noodles is out of here. He's on his way to Pearson. He's probably there by now.
You think he's making Dylan watch, like, a game? Like a replay of a Leaf game or goalie breakdown?
It wouldn't be the Leafs. It would be Carey Price.
Here, Dylan, here's a post-to-post by Daddy on Carey Price.
Nah, she's got her own YouTube going. You've got kids, man. You think
they
don't care about what we're doing?
Is your kid into YouTube yet?
Yes. Loves YouTube.
YouTube, a kid playing with, like, another doll. Like another kid just playing with a doll.
Yeah.
Or, like, a kid opening up presents.
It's like a Kinder Surprise. And
like, go get one yourself and open it up.
No. She would rather watch somebody else open up a Kinder Surprise than her get one herself. Like, she's obsessed with YouTube. She's not even three. And we're like, no, you can't watch it now. You can't. Like, we're already placing limits because if it were up to her, she'd chill and just watch YouTube for like an hour. You know, there are times when it benefits you. If you're on a flight, it's actually a great thing. And if you can get something that's borderline educational, I don't think it's actually bad parenting or lazy parenting.
Dude, it comes into play at this time of year, too. If there's not exactly a tobogganing hill around, guess what?
Well, you can't go outside, exactly.
Oh, yeah. I live in a condo in Vaughan. It's not like they can go out and go snowmobiling.
You have a pool in your place?
Yes.
That's big. You got to get the pool going.
The pool in the wintertime is golden.
Oh, it's outstanding. You need it. As we know, the crew, the Overdrive crew, were off to Vegas in February. Say I Do with Overdrive in Las Vegas. This Valentine's Day, the O-Dog Noodles and I are ready to become your groomsmen. Send an email to vegas1050@bellmedia.ca and tell us why you and your better half want to tie the knot or renew your vows Overdrive style. And you could be getting married in Vegas with flights and accommodations provided by tripcentral.ca. So send a photo, shoot a video, get creative. All the details up on the website, tsn1050.ca. So that's mid-February. That's still a few months away. But if the Leafs win tonight, they're first overall in the NHL. Jerry's on them being first overall in the NHL when we're in Vegas.
I'm going to give them 80%.
80%?
Yeah. So I just think there's not a lot of heater teams out there. You got injuries in Tampa. You got injuries in Boston. Who in the Metro is dialed in right now where you're like, oh, my God.
Do you know who is the last place team in the East right now?
Yes, it's the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Pittsburgh is last. Now, it's a bit deceiving because there's a bunch of teams bunched together.
It doesn't matter. When you see your name down there.
Yeah, it's ugly. No, you're right. No one scares me in the Metro right now.
Yeah, that's why I'm giving it 80%. I'm thinking.
Thing is, Tampa still scares me. Even though Vasilevsky is injured, they're still a really good team.
They won last night. Put Louis in the net for a month and see where you're at.
I hear you, but I said that about Matthews. If you had have told me a month ago, Matthews is out and Nylander hasn't played a game.
Oh, me too. I was like playoffs could kind of be in jeopardy.
Yes.
Here.
When he left after the second period, they were down 2-0 against Winnipeg. And I'm sure a lot of people were like, this is not good. This is a real problem. They couldn't win at home at that point.
No, it was scrappy.
So, you know, I think you got to give some credit to Tampa. And Nashville's a beast. Nashville's a really good team.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Nashville.
You can't forget about Nashville.
I'm going to go 50%.
Yeah, see, I'm 46. I'm like 25% because I think they're one of those top three or four teams. I think the four best teams in the league are Tampa, Toronto, Nashville, and Winnipeg. Those are the four best teams.
No question.
And I think there's a tier below that where Boston will be in there. Washington still has a shot. Columbus. Minnesota's off to a great start. Like, Boudreaux, you got to give him credit. And I think San Jose can be in there. But that's about it. You know, there aren't any other teams that I look at them and I say, they got a real shot. Pittsburgh's got to really wake up. I don't think Pittsburgh wins the President's Trophy. I think it's become clear. If they get in, they're going to have to scratch and claw and change something because it's not working for them.
Mm-hmm. Man, sometimes I always think about different concepts, and we've talked about playoff formats, and you think any kind of like March Madness or like format for the NHL, like you talk about a Final Four, those four teams you just mentioned, imagine that at like a different location every year.
The home teams, though, they want that game.
No, you're
man.
Right. They want
you're
the dying, seven games.
You're dying to go. Imagine that. After
well, the owner's
time.
Dying for the gate, yes. And the fans are dying to watch the games.
Yeah. But that can, and I guess, nah, probably won't, because Tampa and Toronto would meet at the latest in the second round. And the same thing with Nashville and Winnipeg, which, again, is disappointing about the way it's all set up right now. Now, things can change, but let's say at the end of the year, the four best teams are Tampa, Toronto, Nashville, Winnipeg. Only two of them can make the conference final. That sucks.
Yeah, I know.
You know, two of those teams are out, guaranteed, just because of the way that they've set up their playoff format. Duffy will be in studio around 6:20. We'll tee up the Leaf game tonight. There was a minor trade. This is just Edmonton and the Rangers trading
two guys that are looking to spark their careers.
Yeah. Ryan Spooner for Ryan Strome. Just a nothing trade between two teams that are...
Ryan Strome's a friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Not a nothing trade.
Yeah, okay. We'll see. We'll get into that in the next hour, and Jack will join us from Boston. Raptors-Celtics tonight. This is a big, big test. Two in a row they've lost. It's time to get rocking. They've played Boston well in previous years. We'll tee that game up with Jack next.